This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, or whatever you celebrate. If you don't celebrate anything, happy Wednesday. I'm Brian Kilby. Yes. Awkward silence. Hey, here. Yeah, Jason's here. Look at that. Jason!
Yes, the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated.
Oh, okay. Well, Diecast is here.
I am.
Chris.
Yeah.
Rob.
Hi.
And maybe not John DeLuna, who is in a hospital room right now. I don't know if, you know, he's going to chime in, but he's here listening. His beautiful voice might light our darkest hour through this next hour that we spend with you.
50% chance.
Okay, cool. Hey, so, yeah, a lot of stuff going on this week. So I kind of wanted to talk through some different stuff. We have a few news items, but I wanted to be a little different. I figure this being the Thanksgiving episode, being topical with news isn't that big of a deal, because either tons of people will listen to it on Thursday, or it'll sit in your podcast feed for a couple weeks. So I think we're just going to freestyle a few things today. Again, we have a couple news items, but I did really want to talk about a couple of things. First, though, Chris, that one episode of Star Trek, episode 101, what happened?
I don't know. I woke up Tuesday morning and found this podcast recording on my hard drive, and for some reason I was on it. I have no idea what happened that night. I may have been kind of drunk. You'll find in your podcast feeds or on tfradio.net today, there is a new episode of that one episode of Star Trek where we talk about Encounter at Farpoint. Me and Hey Mickey and Matt was there with us, and Moloth, Scott was also on. So we did that, and it's out, and if you want to ruin your Thanksgiving, that's certainly an option for you.
So well, now that you did 101, you have to go to 200, because you have to stop on an even number in the hundreds.
It's 101 for file name continuity reasons. Officially, it's Superhero Time Presents that one episode of Star Trek special.
Ah, so it's not actually... Okay.
Loophole. Yeah.
So why Encounter at Farpoint?
Because it's been almost 2 years since we did an episode of that one episode of Star Trek. So if anybody, you know, new is coming into this and sees that and isn't, like, you know, super deep familiar with Star Trek, or, you know, was not a follower of the full run of the podcast, it's a very accessible episode for something to just kind of jump in with. Also, it's hilariously bad. So that gives a lot of meat for a podcast.
But I'm forgiving of that, though.
Yeah, Yeah, that's fine. There's no reason not to be forgiving of it, given the circumstances.
It's not Threshold. Like, it's not easy to forgive. Threshold, though, you can't forgive.
Oh, no, you shouldn't forgive Threshold.
No, but Counter and Farpoint at least features Michael Bell.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we made a point of that.
We talked about that in pre-show.
I also made a point in the podcast to talk about how when they recut Encounter at Farpoint for syndication, taking it from a feature-length episode to two regular-length episodes, they improved it so much by what they removed for time. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when we recorded the episode, I hadn't, like, brushed up on the production background of the episode, and a lot of the stuff that we were talking about with how it's put together makes so much more sense when you find out how the writing and even a little bit of the filming actually ended up happening.
So I'm thinking back to Encounter at Farpoint. I'm sorry to make this diversion, but we haven't had an episode in 2 years,
and we won't for another 2 years.
Yeah. So
no promises.
I forgot. Like, did they edit out like Riker's quasi? Was it that episode where he was kind of like quasi? I don't want to say racist, but specious isn't the right word either when it comes to Data.
They didn't edit that out. So in the feature-length episode, there is a scene between Picard and Beverly in her office, and they removed that entirely. It contributes nothing to the episode. Like, if you only ever watched the two-part version, you would never know that was missing. When Riker is watching the clip show of the first episode during the first episode, they trimmed that down tremendously, and they cut out his, like, 10 or 20 second long reaction shot at the end of that. It's just like, it's a lot of qualitative improvements just by removing some things that were filling time in the first place.
Now that we're talking about bringing Star Trek podcasts back, will Wrestling on the Edge of Forever come back, Jason?
No.
So at least I don't have to hear about like Orange Cassidy, you know, every week anymore. So that's good.
I do miss hearing about Orange Cassidy every week.
But, I don't.
Well,
I don't.
You're a terrible person. I don't know what else to say.
The shortest version of why Encounter at Farpoint is the way it is because when they were planning it and even writing it, they could not decide if it was going to be a 2-hour episode, a 90-minute episode, or a regular length episode.
Interesting. Oh, gosh. Well. 60 minutes? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I look forward to listening to that tomorrow. So,
Roddenberry went back through it after DC Fontana wrote most of it and started adding things. So it was almost a Star Trek The Motion Picture all over again.
So I don't, it's not that I want to encourage people not to subscribe to that feed, but it may never see another update. So if you want to listen to it, tfradio.net, it's on the website. You can listen to the website. It's mobile sensitive or mobile aware or whatever the word is. You can listen
friendly,
mobile friendly. You can, with my phone, I can queue it up, listen to it through the website and like pause it and unpause it like from my lock screen. So if you don't want to resubscribe, just go to tfradio.net, look for it on Twitter at tfradio or on Facebook. So that's cool. Don, if you notice, Don isn't here and Matt isn't here. Matt is having an issue with his electricity not working. I haven't had my power's not gone out in years. It's just something that doesn't happen anymore. But you know, there's strong winds and Matt's power's down. So
the power out here earlier this afternoon, and I think it killed one of my USB ports.
Oh, that sucks. Oh no, that sucks.
Well, how's he gonna cook his turkey?
Oh no,
deep fryer.
Yeah, if he has gas, I mean, that would work too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flamethrower.
A broken USB port is better than what I initially thought it was, where I thought another one of my hard drives had gone.
Yeah.
Probably I should take the time to back up some of the stuff off of this hard drive just in case.
I'm mentally debating on whether or not to mention why Don's not here. I'm not going to because I think, just the mystery is more fun. But it's a very Don reason why he's not here.
The mystery of Donvoy.
It's the mystery of Donvoy. It's wonderful. It is pretty wonderful. So Don, good luck. He's not going to, for the same reason, he's not going to be here next week. So at least that's what he told me today. So when we come back in a couple weeks, Don will have to give us an update. So
that should be interesting.
Yeah. We've had some people.
This is the way.
It is the way. We've had some people who have been participating in our Elf on a Shelf Warmer toy drive. Basically, find a toy drop-off box, find a children's home, something, and drop off a new toy. The children's home will probably let you drop off like a gently used toy. But Toys for Tots, they want you to drop off a new toy in the box. Drop it off, take a photo, post it to Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and we will eventually reshare it. Again, so just do that and use the hashtag Elf on a Shelf Warmer. And if you want to see what everybody else has donated so far, just do that. I dropped off something last week, and my kid, my 7-year-old, who, again, she's a foster kid, soon to be adopted, and she was probably the recipient of something like this. We told her that the toys were going to go help a kid who was in a home like she used to be before she came to live with us. And it made her so happy and so excited to give. So help out a kid in need. Go to Twitter, go to Facebook, Instagram. Just look for Elf on a Shelf Warmer, that hashtag, all one word. Share. It'll help out a kid in need. It's going to be pretty awesome. What else? Let's see here. Oh, yeah. So, but Don, he posted on Twitter this past week that his landline phone finally died. And he's not here to participate, but I think that we should have a moment of silence for the loss of Don's landline.
Should we play taps, or?
I think we just...
The opposite of a moment of silence, diecast.
It's good enough, though. I think that was the moment of silence right there. I think that's pretty much it. So, Don, your landline is in our thoughts.
Goodwill to get an emergency replacement phone.
Yeah, he probably went to Goodwill. You know, it's funny. I mentioned this recently on Twitter, at BKilby, by the way. I went to Walmart, and Walmart had a much, much, much larger selection of landline phones than Transformers or even Power Rangers. actually, most Hasbro products, other than like Nerf. Walmart has tons of landlines, so if you need one, you can just go there. They're more popular than Transformers.
Yeah, if you need a cheap one, Beth, go to Dollar General.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Gosh. Hey, I mentioned before, I keep plugging this, we're going to do a Patreon. Don't have a firm date yet, but we have all sorts of ideas. We're going to have some exclusive podcast material, ways that you can get on one of our podcasts. We'll have that as a Patreon offer. So I'm expecting probably around the beginning of the year, but we'll be working on that. So keep that in mind. So normally I would save this plug until the end of the show, but you have no idea how many people drop off. So I want to make sure this is heard up front. My fourth Christmas album will be published sometime next week, the first week of December. It is called Apples, Chickens, and Christmas. I'm very excited.
That's great.
I'm very excited. So if it's like all my other albums, it'll be available for free because I can't charge for this. I mean, I literally can't charge for this. So it's definitely worth checking out. Let me actually pull up the cover real quick. I'll show it for people watching the video. If not, again, just go to my Twitter. You can see it. But see if it'll show this. Yep. Apples, Chickens, and Christmas. Pretty excited. I've been spending tons of time editing and re-editing and re-recording. And
that's why we didn't have a podcast month this podcast month.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous, but I hope to have this
Christmas album.
Yeah, we've not done the National Podcast Posting Month in a long time. Maybe we'll do it next year. But
I think once.
Yeah, we did it once. So maybe we'll do it again next year. Who knows? But yeah, my Christmas album will be available at my website, briankilby.com. Again, it'll be like probably midweek, the first week of December. Don't have a firm date. But as always, you can find us on Twitter at TF Radio. I will share it there, or on Twitter at BKilby. Or if you actually just want to go to and like the Facebook page for the podcast, it is facebook.com/happydayinwilkes. So Happy Day in Wilkes, one word, facebook.com/happydayinwilkes. I will share it there. And I'll probably also share out individual tracks as they're done. So that is coming up next week. Yeah, that's everything I wanted to get out of the way. Did anybody get anything this week? I have no idea. Yeah. I didn't update this. So who was that? Rob? Rob, go ahead. Tell me what you got.
Okay. I got a few things. First up, thanks to Greg, who sent me Dragon Ball Z Volume 2 off of my Amazon wish list.
Nice.
And I just need volumes 1 and 5, and I've got the Z part of things done. Also picked up Impactor and Mirage. I would like, again, just as everybody else has said, I really would like Mirage a lot better without the clear plastic. I don't know who decided that the central block that the entire back end plugs together with needed to be made of clear plastic, but no, it did not. It absolutely didn't. Otherwise, it's a nice toy, and yeah, if they ever make one that doesn't have that, I will probably pick it up. Impactor, I like. He is pretty much what I kind of expected, which is he is a big pile of rectangles because he is based on a G1 Marvel comic character. But he's pretty bulky for a deluxe figure. He's got decent accessories, and I like the transformation, which reminds me of Generations Dark Mount a little bit. It's a pretty solid figure. Other than that, thanks to Chris, I got a replacement for my Titans Return Chrome Dome, which I messed with that so much that the headmaster brackets on my original are threatening to break. So I've got a replacement for that. And I also have Spinister, which that's a really nice figure. Yeah, I really like that. It took me a little bit to get the transformation just right. You really kind of need to have, among other things, the hip joints pointed in the proper directions for everything to line up properly. But just everything tabs together so nicely and closely that it just really does feel good in both modes and looks great. And it has the best Best collapsing rotors I've ever had on a helicopter transformer.
Where did you get it? Walmart?
Got it from Chris. I'm not sure where Chris got it.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I've been driving far and wide to find that and still empty handed.
Well, except for when you were driving far and wide to find the ape face you already had.
This is true. I was looking for ape face last night that I already have and complained about last week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's everything I got this week. So
cool. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
So yes, I also have Spinister, which makes sense since I sent Rob one, and I probably wouldn't send Rob one if I didn't have one for myself because I'm an ass like that. But yeah, everything Rob said about Spinister is 100% correct. This is probably my favorite Siege toy from the entire line. Now, with the caveat, I have not actually handled the Voyager Optimus Prime. But like, I can't imagine that topping this just for like overall feel and how the execution played out. So like I would say the one real complaint I have of it is the extra cockpit that hangs underneath the helicopter. But to have, you know, a helicopter cockpit on both legs to match the G1 package art, I don't know what else they could have done, because there's not even room in the helicopter body to turn the cockpit upside down and like hide that part of it up in the structure. It has to hang underneath, and if that's the worst problem it has, like, I think that's a good sign that it's doing pretty well. The transformation, I love the way the torso transforms, because there's like this accordion thing going on with it, where like the chest and the head and the helicopter tail mast all kind of roll out and expand or contract depending which direction you're going with them, and it's like really elegant. It's really hard to picture in your head how it's working, but when you're doing it, it all just kind of flows together and works. It feels really good. It's fun to watch happen. And yeah, the helicopter tabs together super solidly. The articulation is really good on this. It has like the best ankle articulation range of any Siege toy so far, because it's got two ankle rockers because of how it transforms, and the toes can point. So, like, there's a lot of range of posability with that. The knees bend really deep, even though they're single hinges, and if you want them to go farther, you can open the back panel on there, and they'll just kind of, they're able to collapse up a little bit more that way. This one has really good tolerances on all the joints, too, where, like, it can stand on one leg and do a high kick with no outside support. And of course, it's beautiful, beautiful late G1 Decepticon colors, and there's really no complaining about that. And to elaborate a little bit on the collapsing helicopter blades, so like they will stay up in the V by themselves, and they don't go anywhere. And it's really clever how they did that. There's a little fin on the tail mast in the middle of it that sticks through the back plate, and it catches on a notch that forms when you raise the rotors up into that V position, and it holds them there. And when they're not like that, they spin perfectly freely. It is like the most simple but most clever thing. It really is the best collapsing helicopter blades I've ever seen on a transformer or anything else that does the collapsing thing like that. Like, I can't say enough good things about this because it is just such a good deluxe. Like, this is the justification for the $20 price point right here. There's nothing I can really hold against it.
Isn't it actually Voyager size too?
I mean, if you're gonna, like, if you were to say that, then the Ironhide mold you'd have to say is Voyager size too. It's the same head height on them.
Okay.
Because of the way it's engineered, it's a slimmer build. Like, there's obviously more volume to the Ironhide mold than there is to Spinister, but like, there's not a shortage of parts for that. It's just, it arranges all of its mass in a little bit different way. Crosshairs here is also really good. It's only a head swap from Ironhide. There's no other physical changes. I mean, the leg panels don't fall off at the slightest provocation, so they did fix that. And Ratchet is better about that too, but like the colors are very vibrant, and the layout is good. It's really nice. The tolerance could be a little bit better. Nothing's falling off, but the joints are just a little bit looser than I'd like. But overall, I'm really happy with this, a lot more than I thought I would be. this was one where, like, when I saw Amazon had it knocked down to, like, $17 pre-order, I was happy because, like, oh, yeah, I'm much better not paying the full $20 for that. Well, then I went and found it at Walmart and paid the full $20 for it, and I still feel okay with it. It's really good. And then that brings us to Astro Train. I'm conflicted on Astro Train a bit. So, like, even leaving off the cargo container, the launch pad, the extra accessory package, I don't think this would be able to sell as a $30 toy. It feels heavier to me than Ape Face, and I think it probably does a little bit more than Ape Face because, like, no one of the modes feels like it really loses out for the sake of any of the others. So the engineering is a little bit tighter on it. But at the same time, it's not particularly remarkable. And the train mode does have one weird quirk where the front nose of the train, it's so, okay, for the vehicle mode, the shuttle front end and the train's front end are the same piece and you just flip them around for whichever mode you're going to use. So that leaves the front of the train narrower than the rest of the train body a little bit. And they put two little train wheels underneath the nose of the train on that narrower bit. But then all the rest of the wheels running along the sides are wider. So, yeah, that wasn't thought through particularly well. The transformation for Astro Train was a little bit, I don't want to say harrowing, but there's some spots in here where things feel like they're bending before hinges kick in. And I don't like that a lot. And there's painted surfaces where I'd rather them not be also for how things are having to move. Like, I feel like there could be some scraping issues over the course of time with it. But, like, all the modes basically come out fine. The robot mode is very boring to look at because it is just gray on the front and all purple on the back. And there's not, like, a whole lot of variation between those. And one thing that disappointed me were the promo pictures had what looked like, instead of the normal, like, silver scrapes for the battle damage, it looked like burn marks from re-entry or something. It's just the silver scrapes on the actual produced toy, so that's kind of a letdown.
But is it the best Astro Train we've ever gotten?
You know, I'm really fond of the Classics Astro Train from 2006.
Okay.
But, like, for something that actually looks like the cartoon pretty well in all three modes, yes, this is the best on that score. I don't think anybody's really taking Titan's Return Astro Train into consideration. My big problem, though, overall, is that where, you know, with Ultra Magnus, you have the armor, which is an integral part of the character. It makes sense to have that be executed the way it was. With Shockwave, the extra parts that make the big battleship mode and then the goofy extra arms and stuff for the robot, like, that works in its own way. And again, even with Galaxy Optimus Prime, like, the upgrade parts, you understand and expect that because of what it is. Astro Train's extra stuff doesn't feel like it integrates with the toy. So, like, in train mode, you can attach that cargo pod and it sort of looks like a coal tinder or something. And you can set up the launch pad sort of, because even that, it won't lay flat because the hinges are that black nylon that often has kind of a gummy reaction. So all the panels won't lay quite flat. So that doesn't even look as good as was presented. But, like, yeah, you can have the shuttle mode standing upright on that thing looking like it's waiting to blast off. But outside of that, there's nothing it can do to interact with the shuttle mode. And for the robot mode, you can take it apart a little bit and have little tiny platform shoes that raise them up like a quarter of an inch and then have a weird, like, open plan backpack that you stick on the back. But, like, it all feels really extraneous and tacked on. It doesn't seem like there's much thought to actually making it be part of the toy. The big bunch of weapons that it comes with, I don't mind having the extra guns. That's fine, but, like, that certainly doesn't constitute taking, like, a higher-end Voyager-sized figure. This could not sell as a Voyager by itself. I just want to be clear about that. I'm not saying that this should have been sold as a Voyager as is, because it wouldn't budget out. I just know, feeling it and handling it, that's not possible. But, like, what there is does not feel like it makes up the value difference to go up to the leader price point. So Astro Train's not terrible, but it certainly is the most disappointing leader toy from this line, and overall, I think is just kind of like an average Siege toy.
Okay, cool.
And I think that's all I got.
Diecast?
Okay. First, I want to show off something that's not Transformers related, but I'm using it for Transformers. I never thought, as a Transformers fan, I'd start to accumulate a pin collection, but apparently, you know, getting a lot of Transformers stuff, I now have a pin collection going.
Nice!
And I got this holder for my pins where I can, you know, plug them on and hang them on the wall. So it just has a little hook back here, and Anchor I got fountain. It all at dfradio.com/Amazon.
And yeah, it's
either works.
Nice.
dfradio.net/Amazon.
And was that a Voltron Lion key in the bottom right corner?
Yes, it is.
That's what I was trying to ask.
Nice.
And that's one of the things I was saying. I know I have this. This is the 35th anniversary Megatron pin from New York Comic Con, I believe. I know there's a... I have the Optimus Prime pin also, which is from San Diego Comic Con. I just can't find it. So I'm just going to hang this on the wall. And when I come around it, when I happen to find it, I can put it in there too. So
yeah,
actually need something to display my pins in. But yeah, Transformers has definitely touched a little bit of everything.
And if you don't have pins, I'm sure that would work for merit badges as well.
Or like Paladin was saying in the chat, like it looks like you'd put your Pokemon gym badges in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was a shock to me. I got the Green Hornet, but I got it in the yellow version. He is super tiny. Like, I thought he was a deluxe size, and you put him next to, like, Deluxe Headmaster Rodimus, or Titan Master. He is a good head shorter. So he is a tiny, tiny figure.
Okay, so that Titans Return Rodimus is a little bit big even for the Titans Return stuff. Like, how does that Bumblebee do with, like, Studio Series Deluxes, which tend to be smaller?
He's still smaller. He's like a large Legends class, I guess you would say.
Which one is this?
Yeah, who made that?
This is the Toy World, the Green Hornet.
Oh. But
in yellow. Which is like the old like World War II movie accurate car that they had.
Right.
It's a Mercedes that turns into the armored car's robot.
Yeah. I mean I absolutely love how it looks in yellow. I think that that's just to me, I love that. But he's so small.
You think anybody will upscale that one?
I don't know. Does anyone do? Yeah, there have been a couple Toy World knockoffs, but that was back in the day. The only thing I really remember getting knocked off of Toy World was that combiner of the Throttlebots.
Oh yeah, Throttlekaiser.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I remember there is that got KO'd and upscaled and knocked off.
Yeah, which it seems like I don't know what even the point was, because like almost all of the Throttlekaiser individual toys were super cheap and easy to get anyway.
Except for Grindrod. Grindrod was
that was the first
for
one.
A while.
But yeah, that Bumblebee is probably pretty well in scale with the Studio Series Fluxes. But I can understand.
I don't think so. I think it's on, like typical.
I mean, they're pretty small.
Yeah.
But I also got a upscaled Ironhide KO, Masterpiece Ironhide KO. And he's pretty nice. He has light up eyes, his cannons light up. He's got blue on one and I believe yellow on the other. And where's the button? Where's the button?
He doesn't have anything on one.
What's that?
Maybe he doesn't have anything on the other one.
No, he has a button. It's just on the inside, so it's pegged in, so it's kind of hard to get to.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, but he's pretty decent. I didn't want to pay MP prices for this mold because this mold has some issues.
I may be done buying MP molds in general.
What's that?
I may be done buying MP stuff in general after this week, but we'll
find out about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, but. He's he's pretty cool. I didn't transform him. I did get his shoulders locked in fairly decently. I mean, I don't think they're perfect, but they are locked in. So that's good. But
do you have
the
official MP suit or MPM Ironhide?
What's that?
Do you have the official Masterpiece Ironhide?
No.
Okay. Rodimus Supreme was asking if the QC was better on this than the official one, but that probably is not something you'd have a frame of reference for.
I think it is. Just from what I've seen, because like the shoulders were floppy, but I actually got them locked in, which they still move a little bit, but not as bad as what I've seen on the MP, the official MPM. So, but he's upscaled. I wish he was, at least I believe he's upscaled. But I wish he was like a straight KO of the correct size, but I didn't know.
There is a straight KO of that out there somewhere, although whether it'd be better quality than the official one at that point is up in the air.
Yeah, exactly. And then this is a surprise to me because I swear I didn't order it. And this is probably Brian got too. I got
your box Black is upside Arachnia. Down, but it's Black Arachnia.
I mean, Black Arachnia. You know, spiders typically are upside down, so that's in character.
So for people not watching the video, Diecast is showing off the box. It's still within the Amazon Japan shrink wrap that I love and hate at the same time.
Although, actually, I've gotten stuff from HLJ that's packaged basically the same way, so I think that might just be like a standard for Japanese mail order.
Maybe.
Mm. I mean, it's a smart way to package it.
Yeah, I don't keep Masterpiece boxes anymore, but if I did, the sticker on them would just drive me crazy.
Oh, no. Amazon Japan, at least, those stickers are made to peel off easily and without damaging the material underneath. There's actually the line of Japanese text on the sticker that says this sticker is easily removed.
Oh, so
like they put that on inventory control purposes, but they are smart about it and it will not ruin the
package. I throw boxes away. But
that's fine. No, I just wanted to make that point for you. Anybody else who might be affected by that.
Yeah, so well,
I thought it was funny they actually print that on there in Japanese that it is designed to be removed cleanly.
But Diecast, that came today.
Is that the one that I saw on Facebook? You said that had been opened in transit.
Yes.
Mine
yes.
was too.
And so, Alan Toy Box Comics, his was delayed.
Mine was too.
When my Masterpiece Megatron
Cincinnati.
Earlier here was in transit, it was delayed a day. And when it came, they had opened and inspected it.
Probably in Cincinnati, which is where it arrives. It was delayed by a day. So I was supposed to have it yesterday. It actually arrived in Charlotte today, like at lunchtime. And they actually threw it on the courier in their van and drove it up here, and I had it in about an hour. So
nice.
I was really impressed by that. Somebody in the chat, and I forget who it was at this point, I should scroll back. They got theirs like just before the show started. DHL is, you know, they're on it, it seems like, so very pleased with that.
Yeah, Dusty on Facebook, he also, his was just like mine, and he actually posted about it, and I was like, yeah, that's mine was the same way, and I thought maybe it was customs that was kind of like peeking in the
pretty
box,
sure.
Like they opened it just enough to be like, oh, okay, it's a toy, okay.
Nerds, yes, nerds.
Yeah, oh, nerds, let them go.
Cool. What else did you get?
I don't know, I didn't open it yet. But the other thing I got was the Zeta Bruticus. Toy colored one. Was that toy colored or show colored?
It's
kind of
hard.
Box set.
You know, it's. I guess it's. I don't know. Is it toy color? They're both kind of garish and beautiful at the same time. It's also how it's interpreted. Like when it comes to because of course the animation and the toy don't match, so they have to sort of creatively go in and line up where everything is. It might be the animation, but they're so close in my mind that, especially when you have to reinterpret where paint and everything goes because the, you know, toy doesn't line up. I don't know. It's pretty though.
Yeah, and it's big, and the box is pretty big, and that's why I didn't bring it down.
Did John turn on video? Oh, John's at home. Well, look at that. John just showed up on video. A wild John DeLuna approaches.
Man.
Oh, video's balanced. Good job.
You didn't have to break up the show. But yeah, I'm home. Sorry.
He's dying, but he's home.
Okay, cool. Anything else, Diecast?
Show
off that Bruticus next week. Yeah. We need to see that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's very nice looking.
That means I have to put it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you do with your toys.
Yes.
My Zeta Toys Superion still only has one leg.
Nobody cares about that one. And the body looks nice. Actually, no. The Superion looks nice, too. Their stuff looks really good. I'm not interested in buying it, but it looks good.
And now you know how you're spending your holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jason, did you get anything?
Yeah. Speaking of how I'm spending my holiday weekend. So last Wednesday, I think, I decided to ship. I had stuff at both TF Source and Big Bad Toy Store. TF Source, I actually got my box by Saturday. Big Bad Toy Store decided not to ship mine and that one until Monday afternoon, so I don't have that one yet. And it's FedEx, so even though it's about 2 hours from my house, I won't see it till Monday because FedEx. But I digress. Yeah. So what I did get, and it's all Flame Toys and Iron Factory. That's pretty much all I have coming right now. So first of three model kits I'll get IDW Nemesis Prime version of the IDW Prime mold. So that's probably what I'll be doing this holiday weekend is putting that together. But I have the regular Prime, so I already know what to expect, and I'm excited to be able to put it together. So that's the model kit as far as toys go. Iron Factory, I got their Nightmare Commander, which is their Gaijin Rai take on their Nemesis Prime version of their War Within Optimus Prime. Yes, I got that right. Yes, it is. and it's Iron Factory, which means it's A, great, and B, you have to transform it about six times before the tolerances aren't scary. At least, you know, it's easier after that. My fingers are pretty sore after putting this guy together. There's a lot to it, but it's nice. Iron Factory is pretty much the third party company I go for right now, aside from Fans Hobby, and their God Bomber is about the only thing I'm going to be getting from them anytime soon. So, but the other fan, the last thing I got is also Iron Factory. I'm down to my last two members of the DJD. So this is Murak, which is, I don't know, Tesserus or Helix, whichever one it is. And he's in pieces because I am preparing to assemble the combiner when the other one comes in probably next week. Because, you know, it's a DJD, so I'll probably put them together once and then, you know, keep them separate. But from, like, the pictures I've seen, as far as combiners go, it looks really nice. Because unlike a Bruticus where, you know, a tank is one of your shins, so you've got this big tank and, like, this little, you know, five-piece leading up to it, he's going to be his proportions are going to be very even when he's together. And I think it's going to look really nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing that when I finally get all the pieces and everything and then breaking them apart and just having my representation of the DJD hanging out. So, yeah, hopefully when I get that package sometime next week, I can finish that up and then get my last couple flame toy kits too.
Yeah. What are the other flame toy kits you're waiting on?
I am getting IDW Megatron. So you're familiar with that one, obviously, Chris. Cool. Yep.
Good one.
And, Shattered Glass Battle Mode Optimus Prime, aka Akane Shinjo Optimus Prime, which two or three people will get after they hear that, but that's okay.
Is that like a Konami reference? That sounds like one of the Castlevania games on NES.
Reference?
No.
No, that would be that's an anime reference, Brian.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
And I think it's going to be more than a few people that get that one.
Gridman was pretty popular among a certain set of people. It didn't really do anything for me, though, sadly.
Eventually, yeah, you're right. I didn't give people enough credit, Rob. You're right. Probably more than a few people got that one.
If my Twitter is any indication, that there's more than a few people.
Right.
Anything else?
Nope.
John, now that you're here, I don't know if you've collected your voice, but did you get anything?
Yeah, I've recovered. Sorry, the minute I turned on the video, the second I clicked video, threw it to me.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do.
I swallowed an apricot wrong, which was awesome.
It felt as good
as it sounded.
I want to share stupid stories because I'm really playing it fast and loose this week because it's a holiday episode. We've all seen, like, I'm a sucker for, like, you know, teamwork and, you know, teams, like, at work being, like, more than just a team. Like, really, the high-performing teams have been, like, typically friends and everything. But sometimes you do have the boss or the boss's boss that has like the rah-rah speech and they go overboard. There was an executive at my former company. Great guy. Love the guy. Awesome. He came from, like, he was dirt poor and he worked his way up to being a senior vice president. He was an awesome human. He is an awesome human being. But there was this one meeting where he apparently, to get his people going, he used to do like this gimmick. He would take a pack of crackers. He would crush them in his hand and he would pour them into a cup of water and he would drink it. And he did that in a meeting once and the crackers expanded in his throat and he almost died.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. That's how you sounded a minute ago.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was not good. But I wasn't joking. It just sounded like I was. So it was all for show. Anyway, a little bit, like half a can of Diet Mountain Dew and a couple minutes and I'm back, baby. Oh, hey, Brian, speaking of what I got, so I saw you tweeted, and I don't know if you have gone into this, so I'll let you go into this, but I got my Masterpiece Bumble version 2 today, and I'll get Black Arachnia Friday, I think. I think you got both, so I'll let you or whoever talk in detail. But why did we do that, Brian?
I don't know.
that was what happened like 2 or 3 months ago. What were we doing? Anyway, so I got that. And then let's see, anything else? I didn't get any more Toy Fair literature or anything like that this week. I did like chase some stuff, but that market's getting unreasonable.
Oh, I get it.
And then
we shouldn't talk about
I'm holding on to my reason.
I've learned now not to talk about that stuff on the podcast if we don't want people to go in on that market.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it. I mean, if they want, honestly, like at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, they'll discover it inevitably. And if they want it that bad, then it's money saved.
Yeah,
in a way.
That's true.
Like money kept in my pocket. And eventually, I'm confident that my Transformers rabidness will outlast like 85% of them.
Yeah,
it'll come back around. The market will crash. And, you know, and I'll scoop that stuff up. I might be like 47 when I do that, but it'll happen. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen, well, then whatever. So anyway. So I don't think I got anything else Transformers related. But I did get the Marvel Superheroes cabinet, the Arcade One cabinet.
Did you get the deluxe one or the one that they sell at retail?
I got the deluxe one, so it's got the light up marquee and stuff.
The same, and I'll probably sticks actually and buttons. Sell the
base to recoup some money because I like the arcade one up. I personally like the cabinets without the riser because I like
being able
to sit in a stool.
Yeah, me too. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems more fun because so they're what, like 60% scale, something like
75.
Yeah,
my wife
and I are actually clearly like not full size.
No, they're not.
And They're also clearly meant like naturally to be something you sit and play. So I prefer that.
And I've owned 2 full size cabinets and I've had them in my home. You don't want that unless you specifically have the space for it. That's what I really love about that 3/4 scale. But I was talking to my wife though, was I've been really hitting around that I wanted the deluxe unit, not of that, but like the pack of MK2 from Costco. Mm-hmm. That comes with the riser, which I wouldn't use, and the stool. But to be honest with you, I don't have the room. And also, to be honest, I'm at the point to where I think I'm done playing 3 versions of Street Fighter that I don't like. For $60, I can put a Raspberry Pi in it or a PC, whatever I want to do. But considering the cost, I would probably just do a Raspberry Pi. And I already have a main cabinet back here that has a PC in it that I can play like Tekken and stuff on. But I think it's upstairs. I'm just going to throw a Raspberry Pi in it so I can actually play hyper fighting and not have to play Champions Edition and pretend that I'm playing hyper fighting. So, yeah. So,
yeah, man. It's a no judge zone.
Yeah. But,
mod it as much as you want.
Yeah. So, but otherwise Walmart had the Final Fight cabinet for like $140, $150, which is what I paid for that Street Fighter cabinet, like at Bargain Hunt.
That's how you tweet that. Like at dawn.
Yeah. He mentioned that he wanted it. I want it for Strider. I don't care about Final Fight, but Strider's amazing. But yeah.
Yeah, 1944 is good, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Ghosts and Goblins. Yeah. And Ghosts is one of my favorite games ever. Landmark
title, I guess.
Yeah.
Say that.
But Ghosts and Goblins.
It's horrific.
Yeah, not so much.
Say that again.
Yeah, Ghouls and Ghosts is one of my favorite games ever. But Ghosts and Goblins, not so much.
Nah, kind of trash. But
yeah.
Okay. Anyway, So, yes, I did get Bumble version 2. Somebody talk about it, because I'm just...
Yeah, I'll talk about it next.
I'm just full of regret.
I've got a few things I want to talk about. I honestly expected only this week to be talking about this one item. I honestly didn't think I would be getting anything else. I'm going through and trying to get, like, all the generations and classic stuff that I don't have. One thing on my list is Classics Fireflight, which is what's based on Cybertron Jetfire. It's the Legends figure. Yeah. It's very plain, but it's also much larger than most, more massive than most Legends figures that we've gotten recently. So something I can check off a list. Yay. Something else I can check off a list that I skipped every time I've seen it, but Ollie's had it for $20. Plus we had a 15% coupon. I got the leader class of last night, Megatron. I've been living with the Voyager figure since it came out. I just didn't want to drop $50 on this, and I've skipped it at 35. I honestly skipped it at 20 a couple weeks ago, but with the coupon, I'm like, eh, let's do it. So I have that. What else do I want to mention? I got another Siege Ratchet. They were on sale for $15. Now they're $12, or at least they were the last I checked. But
yeah, on the website for $11.99, and if you have, let's say, cooperative people in your local store, you can probably get them to price match that in store. I did.
Yeah, cool. Kim, when she was at Ollie's picking that Megatron up for me, she got me a replacement fidget spinner, because I gave the other Transformers fidget spinner I had to the three-year-old. I don't know why, but she wanted it. So I have that. I'll do the masterpiece stuff first. No, do we want to start with good news or bad news?
Let's start with the bad news, because we're teasing.
Okay, so MP45 Bumblebee V2.
You broke it?
No, it came pre-broken.
It broke me.
It came pre-broken. So I made the mistake of pulling out the original Bumblebee recently, and I gushed over it. Like, I loved it. I hadn't messed with it in forever. And, you know, I had to have it. So, this is, I think, my least favorite masterpiece toy ever.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it falls into the same trap of, like, all the other recent masterpiece toys it's over engineered and they try to do magic to squeeze stuff in. Like, this is not exactly how it's supposed to transform, but it actually, to me, looks better than the official transformation that I saw. I didn't look at the manual. I didn't look at the instructions. I never do. So I went by official photos, which might have been mistransformed, but I don't think they were. It's just like the backpack is horrible. The transformation for a toy this size is, I felt several times like I was going to break it. I hate the shape of his arm connector piece here. The arm flap here where you go in and flip it on his wrist to cover that panel, it's like it's reversed, so it looks like it should be the inside of it's not but it looks like it should be the inside of the toy instead of the outside, so that just looks bad. People were complaining about the feet. Yeah, and the feet are ugly. The transformation it's just a normal frustrating flipping around moving panels. The legs are weird. But the worst part is, you're watching video, if you haven't seen my Twitter, this will probably scare the crap out of you. Right, look at that right there. He just comes right apart. Not that it's supposed to come apart, but mine is actually, somebody on Twitter said theirs came apart too, and theirs isn't missing, but like mine is missing like plastic there where it looks like the mold didn't all the way fill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
I haven't checked mine for that. That's interesting.
Yeah, but in transformation, it slipped right off. The person, I forgot who it was, who said theirs did the same thing. Theirs isn't missing that plastic, but it came right off, which actually helped me in the transformation because it makes it a little easier to deal with the upper torso. But this falls into the same trap as all of the other recent masterpiece, G1 masterpiece toys. And it's the worst offender, I think. Like, again, the first masterpiece Bumblebee was so easy to transform, so intuitive. It looks nice. And this is just, I hate it. This would really turn me off of Masterpiece toys. Maybe it has turned me off of G1 Masterpiece stuff. I would like to complete, like, the 84 cars, if that ever happens, but we had a perfectly fine Bumblebee. Yes, it doesn't match the aesthetic, but I hate it. I hate it.
I mean, it really does seem, just looking at your demonstration here, it really does seem like they pushed the envelope too far for something like MP44 or even you know, something the size of an Autobot car, a normal Autobot car. You can kind of get away with trying to force the magic in there, but yeah, I mean, that Bumblebee is tiny in your hands.
It is.
You can't do that with something that small.
I'm trying to remember. I think when you compare the two, obviously they're not the super comparable, but we have Black Arachne here, who's at least taller than Bumblebee. She is not as massive. But let's just talk about Black Arachne. So we all were worried about Black Arachne with the really bad spider mode. Open it up. It's never going back into spider mode. I'm not going to lie. But taking it out of the box and it's packed in spider mode, the spider mode's not that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad. So getting that out of the way, the transformation for Black Arachne, which is, she's very reminiscent of a deluxe, a classic deluxe size figure. So she, in some ways, reminds me, I haven't put her side by side, but size-wise, she's about the size of Beast Machine's Black Arachne. With a transformation that's a little more intricate. But when it boils down to it, the transformation for this was perfect. I loved it. I loved transforming this toy. It was intuitive. I had no need at all to question anything or look at the instructions. It all made sense. It was... like, I transformed it carefully, and it took me about a minute and a half. And that was being extra careful. So, I genuinely love this toy. So, it's super refreshing. It's way more fun to transform than the other Masterpiece Beast Wars toys, except for maybe it's more fun than Cheetor. But it's not, like, frustrating like Megatron or Dinobot. I genuinely love this toy. I am enamored with this. I mean, it's great. I couldn't be happier. And again, the spider mode, not so epic, but I don't care. It's like with MP44, they worked extra hard, of course, you know, to try to have that, you know, like the flawless vehicle mode and the flawless robot mode, and everything else in between was compromised. With this, I mean, all the focus was put on the robot mode, and the spider mode is there. It's very serviceable, but it's a fantastic toy. I didn't want to smash it, throw it, anything in the course of transforming it. I'm very pleased with it. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Wasn't that more expensive than Bumblebee too?
$10, I think. I think maybe like $10, maybe less. I should go back, but the difference in price was negligible.
Either way, that sounds like it was more worth it to you than Bumblebee 2.
Yes. And I love Bumblebee, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, if it boils down to it, if I had to pick a character that means more to me between Black Arachne or Bumblebee, I'm going to pick Bumblebee. I like Beast Wars better, quote-unquote. I mean, most of my stuff is G1 and G1 inspired, but I love this. And
that was the preferable experience for you today.
Yeah. And one more item. This was something I had ordered. I didn't exactly know when I would get it. It is a Takara Keshi or Keshi Gomu set. So it is, I guess it's supposed to be technically the Cybertron or Autobots versus Destron set. But the figures that are included are apparently random. I actually looked at other versions of this online. And most of them, it's Autobot versus Decepticon. Mine is, it's all Decepticons, even though... obviously, the packaging says Cybertron versus Destrons. Basically, it came with all three Seekers. It came with all three Insecticons. One Reflector came with, who else? Soundwave, Megatron, a Ravage, and a Blitzwing, and a Launcher that I don't know how the Launcher works. I'm not opening it, so I'm not going to know. But it came with these originally. So this specific one, it had been until the tape gave way. It had been, it's never been opened, but it was sealed. But the tape eventually rotted away. So this is what, from 85 ish, I think.
Wow.
So this is also the peach colored versions. We didn't get this coloration here. That's the reason I wanted it, because they look more like muscle men.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. So yeah. This is, I was very pleased with this. And there are other colors that they got in Japan. So these, the Keshi stuff, if I remember correctly, came out before decoys did, and decoys were packaged with toys. So, but yeah, so this is what I may go for some of the other sets, but I was super. I saw this, I had to have it, so I wanted it. So,
yeah. Important from the chat, Matt's in there, and he says, "You guys are still talking about what you got this week."
Yes, that's
hey. And speaking of that, I did forget something.
What'd you get?
I got the Bumblebee mask. And when I saw this, I was like, I was like, I don't remember seeing that in many stores. And it turned up at a discount store for $19.99, which is a great price because I think it was $100. Apparently, it was a Target only exclusive. So, and this does have Bluetooth, so I can actually listen to
music.
Wait,
how much did you say you got it for?
$19.99.
Where?
At Burlington.
Cool.
Used to be called Burlington Coat Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have one of those.
Yeah, I have one like on the other side of the state.
Oh, you do?
Wait, no. I have one closer than that.
It's worth checking out. I also got the Star Wars Poe Dameron helmet for $19.99.
Cool.
Well, that stuff will probably end up turning up at, well, maybe not Ollie's necessarily, but like I wouldn't be surprised if Ross and Marshall's.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the helmet was actually really cool because when you got it, it's like in pieces and all this yellow, they're all separate pieces. So you actually build the helmet.
Cool.
And once you build it, like it looks really good up close. Like the yellow has a metallic in it and everything. So the eyes have detail in the eyes. So it's a really, really nice piece. Like I am super happy with it. And the Autobot emblem is a little plain, but the speaker is actually right behind that Autobot emblem. So I realize, you know, that's kind of why they did that. But it looks great. And I'm really happy I got it. It said it was valued at $35, which I'm pretty sure it was at least $100 when it was at Target.
I thought it was like
same
80.
Thing with Same with the Poe Dameron helmet. I mean, they're $100 easy. The Star Wars Black Series, and that said it was valued at $40. So
cool. Anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay, so before we jump to the news, we're gonna do a scam alert, and I don't have like a bumper for that. So I'm gonna say scam alert. So this is something that people wonder why I do things sometimes. Intentionally, like, well, you know, like in the chat, I think it was Rodimus Supreme asked, why did you get MP45? Love you, dude. I really do. You watch us though every week and we appreciate that. But like, I've got to talk about it. So whenever I see the opportunity to dig into something, I'm not picking on Rodimus Supreme. I'm explaining why I do stupid stuff. So Nest Chalk on Twitter showed this link, and I'm not going to identify any retailer because I don't want to put myself in a position to get sued or anything. But there was this link to the store that was selling a transforming G1 Optimus Prime. And it was the transformation. It was remote controlled. The transformation sequence was highly intricate. I assumed that it was like some sort of prototype that somebody had built. And whatever version of this that I got would have been certainly a mass produced inferior copy of it. The version that was being sold probably would run $100 if you bought it, but like a cheap Chinese knockoff of it, I thought, or a Chinese retail version of it, I thought would be like $50, which is what was being charged. I didn't notice until today. I didn't know until yesterday that on the website it says the item you receive will be the item shown. If you are not 100% satisfied, you will get a refund. Well, what I received was, remember, G1 Optimus Prime, transforming, etc., etc. So I'm not going to open this because I have aspirations of returning it, which may not happen. But it is supposedly like a Bayverse. It really looks more like a laser rod to me. But it's supposedly a Transformers movie-verse Optimus Prime. But when you actually look at it, it looks like, I don't know, almost like a scaled-up shampoo figure that we talk about, like the really cheap, crappy toys. It does transform, and it is remote controlled. So the description, there's plausible deniability, which is, I'll get to that in a second, plausible deniability that this might be you know, the same item. But, you know, the website specifically says the item you receive will be the item shown. It is not.
Well, that looks like it. I mean, you got an Optimus Prime. They showed an Optimus Prime.
Well, yeah. So I got it. Okay. They just mixed up. That's not a big deal. So I sent them an email through their website. And I'm like, hey, I got the wrong item. I'm like, I got the right item. And it went through the process. It went to, I got an email back. It went to like a Zendesk help ticket. I'm like, okay, it is a legitimate retailer. Great. They emailed me back. Hey, sorry to hear that. Send me a photo. We'll get this taken care of. So I sent them a photo and they emailed me back the next day. It's like, hey, the item you received is the item that you ordered. We're sending you back your invoice just to show you that, you idiot. They didn't say you idiot, but it was, you know, like, no, it's really not. So I sent them the listing on their website and I found this item. Again, I paid $50 for it. I found this item on another website. It was like $30. You know, I'm not too worried about the cost, but it's not even a $30 item. It's like a super $10 piece of crap. It's like something you would buy in a dollar store for $10. And I'm like, hey, different manufacturer, different engineering, different model number. They are in no way comparable. So we've had several back and forths and they insist it's the same item. And they basically, they said, hey, we will be glad to exchange this for an item of the same value. I'm like, I don't want something of the same value. You know, the website, of course, says, you know, they'll get a refund. They will not give me a refund. So I'm working through the PayPal process now to get that taken care of. But what I noticed, and of course, you know, Facebook, they will show you ads of stuff that are relevant to you. I've started seeing ads from another retailer that is selling this. But other Facebook ads, they have the author of the post monitoring it and responding, but it's super shady. It is super shady. Like there's somebody basically responding to questions that people ask, and people are asking questions and the person's just flat out lying. It's just, it's creepy because I know the person, is basically a thief. They're a fraudster. And you know, they have no scruples with it. They're selling something that is not the same thing. You go to their website and you look at the reviews and they're all like 4 or 5 stars. But if you read the actual reviews, the reviews are all like, what they sent me was crap. I've asked for a refund. I'm not getting it. 5 stars. You know, this is not what I ordered. This is, I'm trying to get this fixed. 4 stars. All the review, the review text will be, hey, like this flower pot that I got is excellent. 5 stars. So it's, you know, that's a red flag. That's a scam. So what I found out is the retailer that I bought this from, it operates under several different names. And what you get is you'll go to a website. It'll be the same one through CSS or whatever. The site will look different, but it's otherwise the exact same thing. So I don't know if the one that I'm seeing on Facebook is the same one, but I am from what I understand, in no way, shape, or form are any of these sites selling this thing legitimate. And again, I do this so that you don't have to. I will get my money back one way or the other. So I'm not worried about that, but I was curious, like, hey, is this going to be a scam? If so, I can talk about it here. And if I get it, great, I can talk about it here. So unfortunately, it ended up being a scam. I will get my money back and I may also get to keep this. And if I do, I'll show it off next week. So avoid. Do not get this thing. And I'm certain,
so
like,
5 stars?
Yeah, 5 stars. This is horrible. I hate it. 5 stars.
I don't want to tell you I told you so, but
like I said, I don't care. Like,
yeah, I think he knew.
I knew something. I mean, I assumed that I would get it. It would be the item, but it would be junk. And I'm right. Fine with that. But it's not even the item that I ordered. That's the frustrating part. Like, I've done the buying stuff, you know, from China for 15 cents before, and it's always junk. But I kind of like that. But what I don't like is when I order something and I get something completely different and someone lies to me and tells me that it is. So, interesting.
That thing that sounds like you care, Brian.
Matt is mistaken. Like, I'm going to get my money back either way. I'm honestly not worried, but Matt is mistaken. Sorry, Matt. Okay, let's jump to the news. Not a lot news-wise to talk about this week, but we have a third-party item. Actually, I do want to talk about this up front. Fans Hobby Master Builder MB12 Athena Color Images. So it's an MP Minerva figure. I have never bought a Fans Hobby toy. I know Don likes them.
They're great.
I love them. Yeah. I love them.
But it's Minerva, and I will buy that. I already pre-ordered it as soon as I saw it.
The price is really good too. Yeah. I was shocked.
Yeah, it's like $55.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's super reasonable.
I spent on this crappy thing here what I'll be spending on this. I would much rather have this.
Yep.
And again, when it comes to like third-party stuff, and even third-party masterpiece stuff, I typically will buy items that are not going to come out. And there's no way we're ever going to get a masterpiece, Minerva, not an official one. Are there any other headmasters from what, Fans Hobby?
No.
Okay, so here, I can't tell, but from the photo, it looks like it's going to have the mechanical tech spec gimmick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we haven't had a third party that's had that yet, right? Because like the remaster figures from what, Make Toys, those don't have those, at least the one that I have. It's just molded in, which I love.
Someone did that, but I can't think of which company.
I feel like someone, but I'm with Chris. I can't remember exactly.
I can't remember if the Toy World ones had them or not, because I didn't have those.
So Ryan in the chat is saying 2 weeks ago, Brian said no more third party. There was the caveat of no more third party unless it's something that is weird and crazy and interests me. So this falls under the weird and crazy and interests me, because there's no way it's going to happen.
Right, so, yeah, you'll never see it.
This will never happen.
From Takara.
Like, I actually had the Lightning Eagle pre-ordered, but I canceled that because that's, like, outside of the scope, I think, of what... Not that we'll ever get a Masterpiece Thunderclash, but, like, the likelihood that we'll get a Thunderclash is higher to me than the likelihood that we'll get a Minerva.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, but yeah, like I did say, like, no more third party, but there's also an asterisk there. So, good listening. I'm glad you pointed that out. I do have the bucket of Galvatrons. I'm actually thinking about keeping now the open and play, because it's so nice.
He very much is.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. But yeah, so there's this Minerva thing. It's pretty awesome. I'm excited. Gosh, even the vehicle mode.
I'm sort of holding out hope for like later in Earthrise, we'll see like Nightbeat get a new toy again and be engineered in such a way where they can do a generation selects Minerva. That's,
oh man, then I would toss this, even though it's, you know, that's a deluxe and this is a masterpiece.
Yeah, but I mean, for the way I collect, the deluxe is what I want.
Crap, maybe I'll just cancel this now. I'll hold on. That's only $55. Okay, but yeah, that was really, I honestly was excited about that. Okay, so something I'm not excited about, MP49. This is, gets its own designation, its own number. Black Convoy.
Okay, so I mentioned something about this, like, maybe pre-stream even, like, that people were going to be bugged that this gets its own number, but I figured out why this is a full number and not a letter add-on to MP44.
Why?
It's not going to come with a trailer.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah, I assumed that, but that would explain why, yeah.
Yeah.
And Black is slimming, so that huge back...
Yeah.
So do we know a price?
No. So the Big Bad listing says the information will come on like December 5th. This basically, like, I think Takara has alerted them, you know, we're going to be soliciting this at this time. And probably they give a heads up for the purpose of don't post anything about this you might hear until then. Like, you know, it's more of a moratorium notice than a heads up thing. So that's why we have information about it right now.
So Blade Raider's asking, would I buy it if it came with a basketball? Man, I don't know. I don't think so. Like, MP44 didn't.
I kind of want to find out from you guys, like, what do you think this price is going to be without the trailer?
That's exactly what I was going. I'm guessing $275.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to plug it in at $25,000, but, you know, that's easy.
I would take that question, like, to Brian and John, who have this figure and have had their issues with it. What would you pay? What would actually get you to buy a second version of this?
Nothing.
Given what you've experienced.
Okay. No.
I wondered.
I mean, clearance.
A lower price.
If I could get it on clearance for $100, I would buy it. That's, I think, about what I paid for the MP10 repaint of Black Convoy, whatever that designation was.
I mean, my thing will be, like, the people who are going to buy this will pay almost anything, and it's a very small, like, sliver of the fandom. But if you're into a Nemesis Prime version of this mold, then I could probably charge you $400 and you'll buy it. So,
for non-ridiculousness, I would really hope that the price point of this is 25,000 yen, because that's a really, it's high, but it's a solid middle ground for where Masterpiece is right now. But like, just giving it a little more thought, I won't be surprised if it ends up being 30,000.
Yeah.
Name your price.
Yeah, let me real quick see how much I paid for MP36.
Robin Supreme, I actually agree with him. He's hoping this is actually Car Robot Black Convoy. It won't be, but that would actually at least be kind of fun.
I mean, absolutely, but I mean, that would be an entirely new mold, and we would get, I mean, I would say we would get that as Optimus Prime first.
A Masterpiece Laser, yeah. Optimus Prime.
I mean, you know, to some people, especially in the late 90s and early 2000s on Alt-Toys Transformers, that toy was already a Masterpiece. Because it won Toy of the Year in the trannies every year.
It did. Oh, man. MP36. Of course, this is from Amazon Japan. I was thinking, did I pay 25,000 yen for that? No, I paid 15,685 yen for that. So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think list price on that might have been like 18,000.
Yeah, I would hope that list price would match MP36 or whatever MP36 goes for now. I guess they're roughly the same size. Honestly, though, I guess Optimus has more engineering in it, even though I don't like it nearly as much.
Which one's 36?
Megatron.
Okay, I'm getting these numbers. There's too many now.
Wasn't the new Masterpiece Megatron the same price as MP10? So it was like 20 or 25,000 brand new.
I don't know. I paid brand new.
That sounds right.
I paid brand new 16,000 yen.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because Amazon and some of the other Japanese online retailers, like, there's the list price, but then everybody gets a chance to break down to their predetermined discount, which is like 30%.
Usually. List price is 25,300.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, randomly, what Masterpiece I could go for is G1 Galvatron.
Yeah.
Like super detailed movie perfect Galvatron would be awesome.
We've wanted that.
Fans toys.
The fans toys is nice. I wish it was plastic and not metal. Like if I could get the fans toys, the fans toys is like 80% of the way there. If I could just get it mostly plastic. Yeah, it's too much diecast metal on that thing. I know that's blasphemous to some people, but Galvatron does not need diecast metal everywhere.
I'm right there with you.
His feet. Yeah, his feet can be diecast metal. That's good enough.
I mean, that's a good thing in like large Masterpiece kind of stuff, especially like put some metal, put some dead weight low on the toy to help the center of gravity, but not like mixed through the core.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what
you're talking about. That toy is perfect.
I was even thinking though with Galvatron was the G1 toy. If there were any diecast in it, it was the feet, but I can't remember if it was metal or plastic. But yeah, I need Galvatron. I think once we get a Galvatron, I'm done. Well, and all the 84 cars.
Then we get into the movie cast. That's what he signals.
RC, we don't have a cup.
Really nice Masterpiece Cyclonus, I think, would actually be pretty cool.
With Galvatron.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I think Cyclonus would be hard for them to pull off.
I'd like to see them play, honestly. Like, that's not even a taunting. I would just legitimately like to see the attempt made.
So by then they'll charge $1,000 for him. So,
cripes.
What do you think 50 will be? We're so close to 50.
Yeah, I mean that's a hard call at this point because like you would have expected them to do the new Convoy as 50.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll probably. Be Starscream.
I think they gotta do something. Yeah, like I would expect either like a 3.0. Would that be 3.0 Jet or Jazz?
Is it 3.0 or 2.0? We haven't gotten a new mold for the Jet. The cone heads were.
They reversioned the Seeker heavily.
There's quite a few changes, but I mean, it's not. I wouldn't call it a 2.0 version, like a 1.5.
What? Really? I would definitely call that second time around for the Seekers, like version 2.
Yeah. Or like 1.8. It's closer to 2.5.
Howden says,
I think first Seeker mold was like 2. They try
and
do something so different.
Yeah. Powden saying MP50 is Optimus Prime with a new hat.
it's return of Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime where Mohawk is gray now.
Oh, yeah. So basically,
I'm just going to call it right now because it'll be Rat Trap. It's just going to be nothing. It's going to be Rat Trap.
That's not nothing.
It'll be Pack Rat.
No, I mean,
it's going to be the same transformation as the as the generations rat trap.
Yeah, well, as long as materially it's stronger, that's not a terrible thing. It's just that rat trap had a tendency to break at certain key points because of the plastics that were used. No, I think there's a lot of merit to the idea that MP50 will be another reversion Starscream, because, like, you know, that's where they're going to get their money back out of Masterpiece Mold investment, where they can run that 6 to 12 times over the course of 5 years.
So Jared is mentioning Car Robots Optimus Prime, so Fire Convoy. That would be interesting, and I think it would make Dawn's day.
Can't happen.
Not to be harsh on Car Robots or anything, but, like, I don't think they would put that at 50 if they're internally looking at 50 as being a notable number. It would be a G1 character. Absolutely.
Most likely.
Yeah, I mean, Starscream is, like, super likely. I wouldn't even be shocked if they had a Soundwave or something like that. That's like cartoon, like doing their cartoon thing that they're doing
I would be very upset if they did a new Soundwave, because Soundwave is great. I don't see a reason to redo Soundwave.
It's coming. You know it's coming.
New Soundwave's dead.
No, you know what? It could be Masterpiece Blaster.
Oh, yeah.
His cassettes in Masterpiece or, like, pre-tooling for them exists. So, like, we've known for a while that's been at least something someone's been thinking of, and this could be a place for it to come in.
Yeah.
I don't think Blaster's big enough for 50, though.
Is Blaster big enough in Japan, though?
I'm really putting my money on Jazz, but I would be shocked. The only thing that I know, like, they have in the I don't know anyone that have inside information, but the only thing I think they have in the pipeline is Cliff Jumper. And I'm like, that wouldn't be a good 50.
Oh, please, no.
Yeah.
And the thing with that, too, like, we heard rumors of a Masterpiece Cliff Jumper recently, but that was as MP49, which that's been debunked now. So, Cliff Jumper, I'm sure Cliff Jumper is a thing that will exist at some point, but they probably don't have, like, an immediate plan for it.
So
anyway, Brian wants to move on, so let's move on.
Well, real quick, though, if we had to pick between Jazz and Blaster, honestly, on which would be 50, I think it would be Blaster probably over Jazz. If nothing else, I think Blaster is, I think it's a more prestige toy in the sense that it's larger, and in the sense that Blaster was more featured more prominently in Transformers Fiction. Either Blaster or Broadcast or Twincast. So I think that I just don't think of Jazz as being, like, you know, top tier Japanese Transformer.
I mean, it's a hard debate for marketability too, because, like, each of them has one recolor that you can do, so there's not even an advantage that way with them.
I think they could probably get a higher margin, maybe, out of Blaster, just because of the size. But they could get a higher margin out of Jazz, because it would cost less, and they can charge more.
Well, not necessarily, though, because Blaster doesn't come with an inherent license.
Meister, yeah. Meister has the, Nissan? Yeah. Porsche.
No, Porsche.
Is it a Porsche?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a Volkswagen.
Yeah. Of course, Stepper would be a pretty hot item.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, like, for Kilby's point about the margin, not having a licensing fee on every use of that mold would certainly help.
Yeah.
Even if it was a toy.
Cool. Okay. Well, moving along. So next item, last item, actually, Figure Heat Magazine 262, scans of Earthrise, Studio Series, and Cyberverse. And look how tiny the Cliff Jumper is.
So it's really convenient that they have it on that table immediately next to MicroMasters, because, like, you can see Cliff Jumper is 2 MicroMasters tall, which just happened to put it exactly in the range I predicted a few weeks ago from the stock photos of the packaging. So it's between 3.5 and 4 inches tall, because all Siege MicroMasters are basically the same height.
Did we have to predict? I mean, I saw this in person and I told you. Okay.
You did, and, like, 6 other people did, but, you know, that still leaves 99% of the interested fandom who does not have first-hand direct viewing experience with it in contact with other toys.
And it's not like diecast. You took a photo of it against, like, a ruler to see how tall it is, so.
Yeah, but I said it's the size of a Legends.
Yeah.
He's Legends scaled.
Did you say that, though, before we started talking about what the height was from, like, the stock photo thing? Because I don't remember that, like, really being a topic of conversation when the New York Comic Con event was going on.
I don't think
on.
It was. I don't remember people complaining about it so much at the time.
Either way, though, like, there's, like, a cycle to how this stuff works, and it's worth bringing the information back up again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
And this is just like the best confirmation of all, because you can see Cliffjumper with a bunch of other toys. You can also see Hoist is freaking huge.
Hoist is huge. Ironworks looks gigantic. He's also behind.
I think Ironworks is going to be a little bit bigger than average. Like, I think Wheeljack's going to be average deluxe, like, along that line. And then Ironworks is a little bit bigger. Hoist is quite a bit bigger, probably at least as big as Ironhide, if not a little bit more. And Cliffjumper is bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
I like Hoist how they in the photo they made sure his legs weren't straight to try to make him not look so tall.
Yeah, because otherwise he would be like barely a head shorter than Grapple back there. Yeah. And that's like Grapple's being sold as an exclusive in Japan through Takara Tomy Mall for reasons we don't know. But even so, it's not really good for marketability if the deluxe at 3,500 or 4,000 yen is this almost the same height as the Voyager for 6,500.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, that does exacerbate what we were talking about a few weeks ago with Hoist Greens looking extremely mismatched. Now, the lighting there isn't doing it any favors or anything, and I still don't think it's going to be as bad in person for the most part, but it's not a great showing for that either way.
Cool. Okay, hey, tfradio.net/Amazon, buy something, please. Hey, Black Friday's coming up. They've got all sorts of deals. You know, Cyber Monday. Consider using our Amazon link. Just go there. Jetfire's still $55, tfradio.net/Jetfire. Seriously, it will help us cover show costs, and we're getting that time of year where it's really expensive. tfradio.net/Amazon. Thank you very much. Okay, cool. So let's go ahead and jump to what's on T-Formers this week.
Okay, well, we've got a couple of things. First off, Entertainment Earth put some Cyberverse figure listings up that gave us some new figures. We're getting Scout, Ramjet, and Dead End, and also Hammerbite, who, since I've not watched the show, I'm not quite aware who that is.
That's not ringing any bells for me either.
Yeah, I thought I heard there was a possibility it was a version of... I think it's Beast Wars Skyhammer that has appeared in the background in some episodes, but that is hearsay on my part, so, you know, take it with several grains of salt. And secondly, Jack got sent a copy of Jim Sorensen's new Transformers of Visual History, and he has posted a review for that. That is a really nice-looking book.
I need to get it. The only thing that's kept me from buying it is the movie verse art on the cover. That's the reason I haven't picked it up yet. I'm going to, because I love Jim's books and when he works with Bill as well. But I'm going to pick him up. That cover, I have to get over that first.
Maybe a nice book jacket for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Anything else? That's it.
That's it.
Cool. Let's see here. Want to go back and mention a couple things again. You can, find us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Twitter, I mentioned Twitter and Instagram, TF Podcast. Don't forget the toy drive. It'll probably be going on for a couple more weeks. Go to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, and look for the hashtag Elf on a Shelf Warmer, and just buy a shelf warming toy. It doesn't even have to be a shelf warming toy. Donate it, snap a photo, use that hashtag. Help out a kid in need. And that would be awesome. I didn't mention the contest. So I didn't post the Twitter contest last week. I've been super crazy busy. So I haven't had a chance to do that. I'm going to probably Black Friday. I'm going to post the remaining four. And I'll do all four between now and next week. We'll announce the winner on next week's show. Winners, plural. There will be four of them. So look out for that. That will be on Twitter. We also have, again, our Roku channel, tfradio.net/Roku, Fire TV at tfradio.net/Fire TV. Those are great ways to watch the show. Sometimes I will go back and watch the show just to take notes and stuff, and I'll use that as the platform of choice, and it just works so great. And honestly, my kids really love watching me, and now you guys that they've met on as well. The 7-year-old has been around Dawn too much, like the 2 days that she was around him. Today she was in my office and she saw the Generations RC and she was like, is that RC? And I'm like, yeah, that's RC. It's like, where's Daniel? I'm like, you can go now. So she's going to be a little Headmaster Dawn, and that scares me. Actually, I shouldn't say that. That sounds horrible. So she's going to be a little Dawn Ferguson. So, yeah, and there is, again, Fire TV, Apple Podcasts, we're there, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, if that still exists. We are everywhere. So I'm on Twitter at BKilby, on Instagram at Brian Kilby, and you can find my other stuff at BrianKilby.com. And again, I'll have my Christmas album up this coming week. I'm excited about that. There's so much recording left to do and editing. I'm going to be doing that 24/7 for the next few days. So, BrianKilby.com. I'll also share it out on the social channels. Rob Springer, who isn't here, he's at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter and on ZoneBase.org. So, and Blade Raider is asking if I didn't subject the kids to the rebirth the other day. And yes, I did. I thought the kids would love it. Halfway through, they told me they did not love Rebirth. So
did you show them the dubs? That's the important thing.
They have never watched the dubs. They have watched Rebirth. They have watched Transformers, the movie, and that's it. I'll probably go with Five Faces of Darkness next. And then probably Headmaster's dubs. So
I mean, honestly, probably the Headmaster's dubs, they need to be a little bit older to appreciate.
They're fine. At this point, they won't even ask questions. Though they may be like, oh, why are the voices the same? But that'll be it.
Show them Bot.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Cool. John, how do people get a hold of you?
That John D everywhere.
Rob, how do people get a hold of you?
On Twitter, I'm at Figure Reviewers for toy stuff and Rob Flails for video games. Flail Throughs is the new name of my YouTube channel where I'm covering Gundam Battle Operation 2 for the PlayStation 4. Free-to-play game, don't even need PlayStation Plus to play it, and every Thursday is the weekly update. They generally add at least one new mobile suit a week, and usually higher levels of older stuff, too, at this point. If you like what I'm doing there, patreon.com/flailthroughs, a couple of bucks can get you a special request for specific mobile suits and color schemes and weapons. And beyond that, of course, got the wish list at tfradio.net/claylist, where a little bit goes back to the overhead for the show when you get anything off of that from that link. And if you want to see the video stuff that Chris and I do for T-Formers, check out YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Cool. Chris.
Well, on playwithphotography.com this week, I have a gallery up for Siege Spinister. I'm actually quite pleased with how that turned out, much like I am with the toy. It's amazing how having a really nice toy that you take pictures of just makes you a whole lot happier with the entire process. It's just like so much more fun. So there's over 100 photos of Spinister up that you can check out right now. Tomorrow, my patrons will get early access to the gallery for Crosshairs that will go live for everybody sometime next week. But if you want to go ahead and check that out when it goes live, you can go to patreon.com/playwithphotos and sign up at least the $5 level. $5 and up gets you early access to many new galleries, not all, because sometimes something's so new I want to just kind of get out with it as quick as I can. But for the most part, there's the early access period. And all Patreon contributions go toward helping keep the site running, new equipment when I need it, and, you know, just general upkeep like that. And every little bit helps, even if you can't get to the full $5 level. Even just the, you know, $1 or $2 a month really adds up over time. And thank you to everybody who's supported me on Patreon so far. You can follow me on Twitter at Play With Photos for toy photography stuff, or on Instagram at Play With Photography. Random photos, sometimes gallery previews end up out there. On the Twitter account, just a little bit before the show started, I put up a photo. I'm going to reshoot the headshots for Crosshairs, but I put up all the ones I have right now just to show the high level of surface detail texture that I was able to capture with the camera now. And boy, does that look scary? Scary or impressive? I'm not sure which yet. I haven't decided. But otherwise, if you want to follow me personally on Twitter, I'm at ChrisRTXV. I can't really think of a good reason right now why you should, but, you know, it's there if you make that choice. Perhaps I will tweet about Star Trek at some point. It's hard to say. And of course, with, you know, Black Friday and the holidays, and also my birthday in a couple months coming up, I have an Amazon wish list, which you can find at tfradio.net/Chris List. And much like Rob's list, any purchases made there will go back toward helping keep things running for RFC just a little bit.
Cool. And of course, the episode of that one episode of Star Trek, episode 101, posted. You can find it at tfradio.net. I can't wait to listen to it tomorrow.
What about that?
Cool. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2 and see my past reviews on tfradio.net/reviews.
Wow. That was succinct. That's good.
Yeah, succinct is probably good for this. I'm bad at that.
Yeah, maybe I should cut a couple paragraphs out of mine.
Me too. Cool.
I should probably just put up an about page somewhere that that covers all of this, where that I can just bring up every week.
That's
or something.
A good idea, actually.
I have a whole website, and I don't have a page.
Cool.
I technically have a website, but I haven't updated it in ages.
Do you even remember how to log into it?
Since it's part of a Google login, I should be logged in still.
Cool. Okay. We will see you next week. Bye.
There will probably be more of us then.
But it'll probably still be a shorter show.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?